And now for an explanation about why gas prices are so high, we go to Daniel Yergin, chairman of Cambridge Energy Research Associates and the author of The Prize, The Epic Quest for Oil, Money, and Power. Daniel Yergin, welcome to Day to Day.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Now, obviously, this is a very complicated issue, but can you break it down for us and explain the main reasons why gas prices have shot up?
There are two main reasons. One is what's happening out there around the world in the crude oil markets, where oil prices today are as high as they were at the time of the Iraq war a year ago. And that's because of everything from insecurity in Iraq to political turmoil in Venezuela to the fact that the booming Chinese economy is using so much more oil. Plus, OPEC itself have gotten crude oil prices high, and that's part of what people are seeing at the pump. The other thing has to do with the nature of our refining system in the United States and our environmental regulations. That we're tightening regulations further at the same time that we're moving from making winter gasoline to making summer gasoline. And so it's responding to the kind of logistical problems that are created by shifting regulations, combined with one other factor. Inventories, basic supplies, have been low, and that goes back to the interruption of Venezuelan oil supplies a year ago, from which we really haven't yet recovered.
And later in the summer, California and some northeastern states will require cleaner gas, gas with more ethanol in it. Will that also drive up prices?
Yes. California is a unique market. No other place in the world really has the standards that California has. So you need to adapt to those standards. That means, and that changes how your production processes work and so forth. And particularly for California, if you have a problem in a refinery, you have some hiccup in the supply system, it's a very tight system, and then you get those kind of price jumps, and it can take several weeks to adjust to them for new supplies to come in. Right now, Canadian refiners on the east coast of Canada the California recipe is unique. And some of them are making gasoline to that recipe and shipping it from the east coast of Canada all the way around to California.
Oh, gosh, that's very complicated.
Well, it is. We think of those gasoline trucks on the freeway and think, gee, they just moved the supply around it. But behind it is this hugely kind of complex system. And one of the things, as we've continued to raise the environmental standards, we've introduced what some people call designer grades of gasoline. The type of gasoline that can be sold in Detroit is different from the gasoline that can be sold in Chicago. So if you have a problem, it's harder to move supplies around. So you can't ship gasoline from Arizona, just ship it across the border into California, which is in the old days what would have happened and would have brought down prices more quickly.
Now, do people actually change their behavior based on the price of gas, or do they just stand around complaining but still filling up their tanks?
You know, I think each of us would have to search our own heart on that. I think when people notice that they're really higher than they are accustomed to, when my wife comes home and says to me, "You can't believe what I just paid at the pump," you know, you do start to think differently. And of course, for people at these levels, do either look at carpooling or cutting back on trips a little bit. But the question is, will it be sustained? What happened in the 70s when we had high gasoline prices, people said, you know, this is going to be a long-term thing, and this hurts. And they move towards more fuel-efficient vehicles. They move towards smaller vehicles. What we've had the last several years is America's love affair with the SUV, which are among the least efficient vehicles on the road. And if you're driving an SUV and you go in to fill it up, that certainly makes a dent in your pocketbook.
Now, some experts are suggesting that the energy outlook hasn't looked so bleak since the 70s, since the Carter administration. Do you agree with that?
It's very interesting because it's not only oil that we see tight. If you see your home heating bill, natural gas prices have doubled too. We have a very tight market in natural gas. That is leading to what's called demand destruction. We're losing jobs. People are moving chemical production. Can you believe this? From the United States, petrochemical production to Germany because it's cheaper to produce in Germany now. And if you're trying to compete in a world market, you have to be competitive in terms of price. So I don't think it's as bleak as the 70s, because in the 70s, there was the added sort of thought that the world is running out of everything. And of course, it was also in the context of these terrible Middle East crises. So, but I think markets are as tight as they've been for many years. And when they're tight like this, they're vulnerable to accidents, which can be accidents in terms of production, but it can also be political problems in a specific country. I'd keep your eye on Venezuela right now, which is one of our largest suppliers. So there is a concern that concerns about energy security have come to the top of the agenda again, partly because of these tight markets.
Daniel Yergin is chairman of Cambridge Energy Research Associates and the author of the book, The Prize, The Epic Quest for Oil, Money, and Power. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.